Exodus 25, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they may take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, with fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Exactly as I have shown you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all of its furniture, so you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it, and you shall make it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side of it and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it, and you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold of hammered work. Shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat? Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end of 1 piece with the mercy seat. You shall make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. Then you shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it, and you shall make a rim around 1 handbreadth wide and a molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame, the rings shall lie as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. And there shall be 6 branches going out from its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out on one side of it and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and a flower on 1 branch, and 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself, there shall be 4 cups made like almond blossoms and their calyxes and flowers, and 1 calyx of 1 piece with it under each pair of the 6 branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of 1 piece with it, the whole of it in a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all of these utensils out of 1 talent of pure gold, and see that you make them after the pattern for them which is being shown you on the mountain. This is the word of the living God, infinite, eternal, infallible. May that word be brought to our hearts by the work of the God, the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, we come to a point in our study of Exodus where we are now seeing the commands of God that he gives to Moses for building a sanctuary. And there are three parts to that directive. The Hebrews were to build a tabernacle according to the plan and the specifications that God was going to give them. And that's what is given in this very passage. Specifications. Notice it says, do everything according to the plan. Don't deviate. Don't come up with your own idea. Do what God has commanded. And then he also tells Moses that he will accept from the people their voluntary and willing sacrifices. And he lists what those things might be. Notice he tells them it can be gold and silver and bronze. It can be certain linens and stones and so on and so forth. But never in this passage does anything say, give whatever you think you want. You know, as that someone might say today, a free will offering. No, the offering was not to be made up by the people. The offering was made up by God, but it was given willingly by the people. And that is emphasized over and over in these words that we find in chapter 25. We see it in verse 9. Follow God's pattern. If you flip over to the New Testament, where in the book of Hebrews it speaks of the building of the tabernacle, it says there, make it according to the pattern shown you on the mount. In other words, God's plan, follow it, don't deviate from it at all. One famous author, M.R. Dehaene, said about this blueprint, this pattern that God gave them, was minutely made in heaven. It was committed to Moses for the children of Israel while he was in the mountain. What was Moses doing in that 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain when he was meeting with God? He was being given this instruction for building the tabernacle. And every single detail of this tabernacle was designed by God. Whether it's the three things that we're going to look at today, the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Bread, or the Golden Lampstand, or the rest of it, it is God's plan. There's no place in Scripture for anyone to deviate for a moment. God was the architect. He was the one who designed it. He was the one who gave them the command, and he was the one to instruct Israel to do according to the pattern. And I want to emphasize that nothing was left for human fantasy or improvisation. There is no place for anyone to say, you know, I think we can make a bigger Ark of the Covenant. You know, that's kind of a small one. Or maybe instead of putting it all with gold, why don't we make it so it's easier for the people that are going to carry it. Let's do something. Let's make it fancy. Let's make it so that if other people see it, they'll go, what a wonderful job you did. And it will draw people then to God. No, there's nothing for improvisation, nothing for human fantasy. You are to do exactly what God says. What that means is that worship and religion are not matters that each one can implement in his own style. We aren't free to deviate from what God has said, in his word. We aren't free to introduce into our worship anything that we come up with that we think would be better that doesn't agree with exactly what is revealed in the Word of God. When it comes to worship, there is no room for invention. There's no room for your idea, my idea. Only what God has revealed in His Word about Himself, about His Son, and about the church, And everything that God wants, he has told us in his word, we are to do exactly what God has said as he instructed Moses, so he instructs us. It's according to the word of God. Can't emphasize that enough. I don't like to comment on what other churches are doing. But one thing just really bothered me this last week. You go to the mailbox and you get that nice little big, you know what I'm going to talk about. And, you know, there's a church that sends these around, and they're part of an entire movement of churches. No matter where you go, you're going to find it. So it's not just one church. And this church is going to have a whole series of sermons, and they're all going to be based on movies. God didn't say, go to the movie box, go to the theater to worship. God says, go to the Word. Seek the Word of God. You can never go dry if you go to the Word of God. You can never go without a blessing if you go to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is infallible, the Word of God that is going to bring you that which God has commanded. We can't say that enough. We live in a day and an age in which churches are going through these programs that they're putting out, and they have marketing programs that they buy into, because marketers are so much better than God's word. You know, they know what's really going to draw people. They know what's really going to help people. They know nothing if they have departed from the word of God. And the word of God is what God has ordained for Israel to follow. And notice that they were to follow it because God was present with them. If we want God to be present with us in our worship, then we must go to his word, and to him through his word and by the power of the Spirit, because God will be present with his people according to his word. And that's what God promised to Moses. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be kind of right with you and right in the middle of your camp. In fact, what better way to show that God was with them than to pitch his tent right in the middle of their camp? If the Israelites were ever going to wonder whether God was with them, all they had to do was look over at the campsite and know that at the tabernacle that God commands, he had promised that he would be with his people. And so the tabernacle and its instructions are given to Moses not haphazardly, because God is the architect. The tabernacle is given to Moses, and the instructions are given to Moses, as the book of Hebrews tells us, because God was giving him instructions on how to build a tabernacle, which was a copy of the tabernacle of God in heaven. And the Israelites met God at this tabernacle, and they had access to God. How do you go to God? How do you go to God today? Well, you go to church, yes, but how do you know how you can go to God? And the answer for us comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to us, and he meets us, because the Word became flesh, and he dwells among us, according to the Gospel of John. And that's how we have access to God. So this morning I want you to look with me, and we'll look at them briefly, the three things that we're going to look at: the Ark of the Covenant, and the building of the table of showbread, and the golden lampstand. Those are three things of the tabernacle that are given in these instructions in the 25th chapter. He describes the ark. We won't go into its measurements and its size and so on and so forth, but he says, build an ark. Notice that the ark was covered with gold. And in it, that was what was important, were the tablets of the law. And God would come and he would actually descend in power and in glory, and he would meet with his people as he himself comes to be seated on the throne, the mercy seat of God. And they are to make this ark. There were the poles that they would put in it. The poles were, of course, so that they would be able to carry the ark. And the scripture tells us of that, how the ark was carried. And it was carried with these poles so that no one would ever touch the ark. Remember Uzzah? He touched the ark and he was put to death because he placed his hand on the ark. But the Ark of the Covenant contained the Book of the Covenant, the Table of the Law. And these were the tables of stone upon which God had written with his own finger the law of God. And the ark was set in the Holy of Holies. This was to show that God is holy and that he requires his people to be holy as well. And God called the Israelites in those days and each of his people today to be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And when we think of the ark, we want to also focus on what is mentioned in this text, the special part of the ark that was given so that we might have our hearts drawn to it, and that's the cover of the ark. The cover of the ark was the place where God would be seated as he dwelt among his people. And it was on the ark that there would be a mercy seat, and that would be the place of reconciliation. The place of reconciliation where God would meet, and the blood had been shed. And the ark was where God would speak to his people, because the ark of the covenant showed the holiness of God and the majesty of God, yet that majesty appeased by blood, and the blood that would ultimately point forward to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could talk about the cherubim that are here on the ark. The cherubim were placed on the ark and they would look down, demonstrating that they may not gaze upon God. Their wings would touch, and between them, then the seat of the ark would be placed. And there are many things that we could say about it, but it was simply this. The Lord was saying, especially at verse 22, I will meet you there. God would meet his people and come to meet with his people where the cherubim were seated on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And it's the mercy seat, the place where mercy was found, the mercy of forgiveness, the mercy of forgiveness from sin. One old author writes about that, that the position of the atonement cover over the tables of the law makes clear what? That the penalty for sin is covered by the blood. It's the location of the blood that was important. And above it was God in all of his holiness. Underneath was the law that exposed their sin, but God was seated upon the Ark of the Covenant where forgiveness was declared because God was with his people. The Ark of the Covenant. The second thing is make a table for me. This is the table of the presence. This is where the blood, where the bread was placed. And it's commanded that the bread be placed upon this table and that God would be present with them at that place as well. And there are many interpretations for the bread. It's called the bread of the presence. It's called the bread of the covenant. It's consecrated bread. Samuel tells us that in 1 Samuel 21, but it is the holy purpose of God with the bread of the presence to demonstrate that he is present with his people. Bread would be a demonstration of that truth, that God is with his people and fellowships with his people. That's what you do when you fellowship, you eat bread together. And the bread was placed as a significant point. There were 12 loaves of bread. Wonder what the 12 would stand for. The 12 tribes of Israel, symbolizing the 12 tribes. The bread would be there. It's a basic food. It's what we need to survive. And when Jesus prayed, he said, "Give us today our daily bread." He was teaching us how to ask God to do what? To meet our needs. We need daily bread. Where do we go to meet our needs? Do you write a check? Do you go to the bank? Jesus says, go to God. We need God to meet our needs. And he does so. And he did so for the Israelites. The bread at the tabernacle represented that same thing. His provision, his power. He provided food for them. Who took care of the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness? Go back in your minds to the earlier parts of Exodus. When they left Egypt, they couldn't stop at McDonald's. There was no food sources. And they cried out to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe they didn't say it that way, but that's exactly what they did. They cried out to the Lord, and who provided food for them? The manna that came. The manna that came in abundance, so much so that they had all that they needed, and they had it every day for 40 years. Boy, that would have put McDonald's out of business. God provided it because he provides for his people. He sees what they need, and he provides for them what it is that they need. When they were going through the wilderness, having left Egypt, he sustained them in the desert. He cared for them. He was the God of watchful care over his people. And the bread was to be placed before the Lord regularly here on the table of showbread. Sabbath after Sabbath, the Israelites would see that bread as a lasting covenant with God. Now, I don't often like to quote authors, some authors in particular, but I couldn't help it when I came across this one by Vern Poitras. He was one of my professors at seminary, great author and professor as well. He said, in the ancient Near East, sharing a special meal together was an act of friendship and personal communion. Think back with me. What was it that Abraham did when the angels came to his tent? He invited them to do what? To take time to commune together. And he had a feast prepared. And that's what this is. It is a feast. The host undertakes the solemn responsibility to serve and to protect his guest while they enjoy their meal. And that's what God was doing. Poitras says, God invites Israel to share a meal with him and enjoy his protection. That's exactly what God was doing, and it's demonstrated in the table of showbread. And the table of showbread is the way in which we are pointed forward to the living bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's by his body, symbolized by bread, that we are given life. That's what Christians really need to see, that God provides for his people. He provides for our deepest needs. He provides fellowship with him, the living God. If we want access to God, then go to your word, the word of God, go to the scripture, and see how it tells us to have access to God. And that access is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look thirdly at the lampstand. That's in verses 32 to 40. The lampstand was made of pure gold, 6 branches plus a central. The 7-branched lampstand is a symbol of God's presence in the midst of his people. And it signifies life, the continual existence and productivity for the people of God as they stand before him. In one sense, the lampstand is a metaphor for the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. God gives life to his people. And Moses was commanded by God to erect in the tabernacle a lampstand according to the pattern shown to him on Mount Sinai. And in this present verse, the same command is given again. These verses serve for us as a section that deals with the furniture that is found in the tent of meeting. And the point that's strongly made is made through the repetition and the command, which begins with a double imperative, two commands: look, make. Look, make. These articles are to be made by what God has shown Moses in Mount Sinai. And they are to be done according to his specifications. And the lampstand gives light in the tabernacle. It is a permanent reminder of spiritual truth. It's a reminder of the fact that God is the light of his people. He is the light and the salvation and stronghold of their life. We read that in Psalm 27, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is sovereign over me. And the word is a lamp to the feet of believers and a light for their path, the psalmist says. The lamp and the tabernacle meant that God was at home with his people. And the lampstand helped to show that. It provided something more than just a friendly glow. You know, the commercial, will leave the light on for you at the motel. No, this was not a motel. This was a place where they would meet with God. And God was not only meeting with them, but he is the light. There is no darkness where God is found. The scripture says God is light, and in him there is no darkness, 1 John 1 says. The lamp and the tabernacle showed that as the people of God approached God, they were coming into the light. God gives light to his people. The light is where God is. He is the light and our salvation. He is the one who has shown us the way of life. And he calls us to that as well. Light and life, symbolized by this golden lampstand, is demonstrated and embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the true tabernacle. Remember John 1:14. He came into this world, and what did he do? He tabernacled among us. Light and life he brings. He says, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus. And if he is light and if he is life, then these themes we need to see not only here in Exodus 25, but we need to see them throughout all of Scripture. They point us to Christ. This points us to Christ. The Scripture points us to Christ. He is our light. He is our salvation. He is our Lord. We must come to him. If you want access to God, you must come through Jesus Christ. This is the message we must bring to the world in which we live. They need light. They need life. And the only way to find that and to receive access to God is in Jesus Christ. May we faithfully carry out the duty that's laid upon us to be the messengers of God and bring to the world the message of life and salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.